The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is the whole world, everyone in it, really being convicted of sin? If so, why does it or why does it not seem like it? What does convict or conviction in the Bible mean? How is it part of the Holy Spirit's role? Welcome, friend, to Grace in Focus. We're glad you're with us. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to know more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, and that is faithalone.org. We'd also love you to find our YouTube video website. That's YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. There we release new videos each week, and we'd love for you to subscribe and like those. That's YouTube Grace Evangelical Society, and our website once again, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we have a comment and question from HC on our YouTube comments. And he's asking, when you say the whole world is convicted of sin, does the Bible actually say that? What does the word conviction mean in this context? And does this apply to non-believers? Thank you.
Okay, real good question. And the passage that I would particularly cite is John 16. It's around verses 7 to 11 or 8 to 11. Do you have it there?
Yeah, 7 to 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
And the judgment was because the ruler of this world is judged.
So what does, I guess, convict mean? And also, does the world here apply to non-believers, is HC's question.
Yeah, so first of all, let's take what does convict mean. I believe it's Carson in his commentary suggests that this word convict basically means to expose so that the person recognizes their sinners, they recognize that God is righteous, and they recognize there's a coming judgment. So these truths are being exposed to the person, and so to convict is not like, okay, you're in a court of law and you've been found guilty. Convict is more like you come to the recognition that something is true. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He exposes to us these things. He reveals these things to us. And his other question, HC's other question is this something he does for everyone or just for believers? Is that his question?
Yeah. What does convict mean? And then does this conviction apply to non-believers?
Yeah. I would say when you look at the word cosmos, and I know, Mike, you just took the first semester of first year Greek, so you know cosmos, right?
Yes. Yes. That was one of the words I did remember.
One of your vocabulary.
In my limited memory, yes.
There you go. And the word cosmos, it comes over in English. In fact, there's books and movies called cosmos, and it's used three or four different ways in the Gospel of John and in the New Testament. One way it's used is to refer to the planet. This planet is called the cosmos, or the entire universe can be called the cosmos, or it's used to refer to the people on the planet, which I would say that's what this is talking about. All the people on this planet or in this universe, all the people. Another way it's used is sometimes it's used to refer to those who are in opposition to God. And so Jesus will say, the world hates you. Mm. He's not talking about every single person on the planet. He's talking about that world system that's contrary to God and God's agenda and God's program. So it's at least those four major ways that cosmos is used. And here it's used to refer to all the people on the planet. So it's not referring to he's convicting the ground or he's convicting the trees or he's convicting the animals. Yeah. He's convicting people, and it's all the people. And so, yes, in answer to HC's question, does this refer to unbelievers? It refers to everybody. And, of course, before we come to faith, this is something he's already convicted. Now, the other question which H.C. doesn't ask is, how does the Holy Spirit do this, right?
Yeah, does he just bring about these feelings of conviction in people, or?
That's the question. And so in looking at some of the commentaries, I found that, for example, Leon Morris points out in his commentary that this is one of the few places, if not the only place, where it's talking about the Holy Spirit having a ministry on the world. He says concerning verse 8, when the Spirit is come, he will, quote, convict the world, unquote. This is the one place in Scripture where the Spirit is spoken of as performing a work in, quote, the world, unquote. The many other references refer to what he will do with believers. So here, this is something the Holy Spirit does with everyone. He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones. Great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
And when I read, for example, Don Carson, D.A. Carson, in his commentary on John, he suggests that this is primarily a ministry that the Holy Spirit conducts through believers. He said, indeed, he, the Holy Spirit, most commonly does so through the witness of disciples. And he cites John 15, 26 and 27. And doesn't that refer to the fact that he's going to send out the disciples to share the message of Christ?
Yes. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Okay, so they're going to bear witness. And since I think the point that Carson is making is since 26 and 27 are so closely linked, the implication might be that one of the ways the Holy Spirit does this is through disciples. And I would agree that God uses those who proclaim the message of Jesus to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. However, it's not clear in Carson's commentary whether he thinks this is the only way. He says commonly. It seems to me that what Jesus is saying here is that the Holy Spirit is going to do this independent of Scripture with each person. Now, we know, for example, from Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And we know from Romans 1 that men are without excuse because the creation itself tells people about God. So it's clear that there's some sort of convicting ministry that creation itself has. I would argue that that's part of what the Holy Spirit uses to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, John goes on, or the Lord Jesus goes on, and John quotes it, as explaining those three things.
Yeah.
He says, sin because they don't believe in me. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah, of sin because they do not believe in me.
So what a number of commentators point out is the fact that people don't believe in Jesus highlights our sinfulness, because as soon as we hear the message of Jesus, we should believe it, because this is great news that he has died for us, that he has paid the penalty, and that he has taken away the sin barrier, so that now if we simply believe in him, John 3:16, whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. And the fact that people don't believe that highlights our sinfulness. But the other part of it is, I think when you go to people groups that have never heard a word of the Bible, so they don't know anything about the Bible, it's quite common for them to believe that they're sinful people.
Yeah.
And it's also quite common for them to believe in God, to believe there is a higher power or a deity. and to believe that God is righteous. And it's also quite common to find that these people believe in some sort of judgment after death.
And that's all the work of the Holy Spirit who's brought that about in those people.
I think so. He can work in the conscience to produce that. Now, we can argue whether that's universal or not. Does John 16, 7 through 11 actually promise that? I think it does, and I don't think it's dependent on the witness of believers. I don't think it's dependent on people reading the Bible. I think God does certainly uses those things, uses the teaching of the Bible and the influence of Christians on our culture, but he also does it independently just from the creation. And it seems to me that's a unique ministry of the Holy Spirit. And because of the way Jesus says this, it seems like it was heightened after Jesus left. Because when Jesus says righteousness, doesn't he say, because I go to be with the Father?
Yeah, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more.
Right. So when they saw Jesus, they saw the righteousness of God manifested in their very presence. In some ways, the people of the first century who saw Jesus had it easier than we do, right?
Right.
But in other ways, we do, because we have the completed New Testament, mm-hmm. and we do have the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was doing that in the Old Testament, too. You know, Psalm 19:1 suggests that, and other things do. But I think John 16:7-11 implies that it was heightened somehow by the Holy Spirit when Jesus left. Remember in Galatians, I think it's 4:4, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Mm-hmm. So this was the perfect time in human history for God to send him. And it seems like the witness escalated after that, both through the scriptures and through the direct ministry of the Holy Spirit and through the witness of disciples. But in answer to H.C.'s question, yes, God is convicting all believers and unbelievers, but especially unbelievers before they come to faith. This is one of the things that leads us to come to faith.
Yeah. If you meet a person who has any of these convictions, it's because the Holy Spirit has been in work in their lives to bring that about.
Right. And if you meet someone who doesn't have these convictions, it's because they've been suppressing the truth. Mm-hmm. It's not because they haven't had opportunity.
Indeed.
Well, I hope that helps, H.C., and the great question, and all of you should be students of the Word. I encourage you to study the word world in the Gospel of John and in the entire New Testament. And in the meantime, Mike,
keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, we're going to revisit our National Conference 2024. Hope you'll join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.